This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Doug Kide, Andrew Callahan, Boston Herald. A lot of good stuff over the weekend. Patriots free agency buzz, draft buzz, all coming out of Indianapolis and the Combine. Their coverage there. We talked about it earlier in the show. We'll get back into it. High noon here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. The Jones and Keefe bracket topics are being voted on now, Keith.
Razor thin right now. Oh, really? Three. Three of
it's a
our
three horse race.
It
right
is
now
a three horse race right now. Sports nicknames getting very little love. That's fine. I think that'd be the hardest one for us to come up with the 64 anyway. So I'm good with that.
Okay.
The other three though.
Other three.
You're duking it out.
Every vote counts. Vote or die, as they say. I mean, I don't want to tell you what to do.
Just like in all polling.
But yeah, if you want to vote along, it's at Jones and Keefe. We'll unveil the winner tomorrow, and we'll get into the bracket by the middle of the week on Wednesday.
All right.
617-779-7937. Let's go to Randy in Providence. We've been waiting for a little bit before we get into some of the takeaways from the Herald and the Patriots being out on Deebo Samuel, now a Washington Commander. Randy, what do you got today?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Tetterell and McMillan there. I know he's been a popular, like in the last day or so, pick up for the Patriots. There's been interest in him with the reports. But looking back at his game log, I mean, he played 12 games this season. 38% of his yards came from two of those games against New Mexico and against West Virginia, not NFL caliber cornerbacks. You talk 506 yards in those two games, plus five of his eight touchdowns in those two games. If you take those games out, he's got 813 yards, three touchdowns, and a 12.7 yards per reception average, which isn't particularly impressive for a 6'5 receiver in a league like that.
So, Randy, I'll grant you that, but I'll also say out the other side of my mouth, I'm not the biggest fan of Tet McMillan, who Chris Scheim, in his mock draft 2.0, WEEI.com, we talked to him in the first hour of the show. You can seek that out on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone, free, easy, take it with you wherever you go. He has the Patriots trading down with the Jets from 4 to 7, getting a second rounder in the future and a fourth rounder this year, and taking T-Mac at 7. So I didn't realize most of his production came in those two games. I can dig in on that more, but I have kind of excused away the lack of production out of Luther Burden III out of Missouri, who's the receiver I like best in this draft. He lost a lot around him from a year prior where he put up monster numbers in 2023. This year, not so much. And so with college football, I think it's, and college hoops as well, I think it's dangerous to just fall in love with numbers.
Yeah, good or bad.
It's very much they're not irrelevant, but I wouldn't make those the end all be all because of they're very reliant on what's around them. And at a place like Arizona, what's around McMillan? Who are they going against? And I'd say the same thing about Luther Burden. Missouri is not every year a top 25 type of team. They're just not. And so when you lose a lot of what's around you in a conference like the SEC, that's going to impact you greatly. I was a big believer in this with Drake May. Drake May's numbers tailed off at UNC. Not that, you know, North Carolina in the ACC is the same as the SEC.
Josh Allen did at Wyoming.
So I was a big believer in that with Drake May. I'm like, I've seen it. I don't care as much that his numbers dropped off. It's not irrelevant. but I'm just not going to let that get in the way of a guy who was flashed before when he had talent around him. That's how I feel about Luther Burden. And, you know, I'm willing to dismiss the numbers there. I just don't like that style of receiver in Tet McMillan, and they can work. You know, Mike Evans can work.
Yeah.
A.J. Green worked.
He did have a good day against Travis Hunter.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, interesting.
They kind of went back and forth a little bit, but he had a good day against Travis Hunter.
Okay. So look,
this last year he didn't.
Was that 2 years ago?
I'm looking at the 2024 game log. He had 5 for 38 against Colorado.
Okay, so 2 years ago. Never mind.
Oh, boy.
He had a touchdown or two. Last
he put the clamps on him.
See what happened there. No, I just don't want a receiver at 7. Or if they trade down from 4 to 7, I want Travis Hunter, but I look at him differently.
I don't in this draft.
I don't.
Last year's draft? That was the perfect spot to get one.
I loved Marvin Harrison in last year's draft and Malik Nabers and, you know, Brian Thomas. But Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, you know, the history of wide receivers with the Patriots, and I know most of it was Bill Belichick. However, Elliot Wolf has been on the staff for a while. So did Elliot Wolf like Tyquan Thornton? Maybe he did.
My conspiracy theory last year is the reason it took so long to cut him is because Wolf and Groh and those guys were believers in Tyquan Thornton.
You do want fast guys.
You can't just blame Bill. They got a fast guy.
So all the years that Bill famously would take a really bad receiver like N'Keal Harry over a bunch of really good receivers, we don't know how much Elliot Wolf was chiming in. And even if you want to say, none. Okay, fine. What about last year when they were on the board, could have had Ladd McConkey, and they got Jalen Polk instead? Disaster. So I don't want them even taking a wide receiver. The group that's here, now hopefully you move on from one or two of those guys.
Right.
But it's insanely young. They're all 22, 23, 24. So if I add Tet McMillan to that group, talent-wise, he should be the best, but I don't know how that's going to go. I would rather get an established wide receiver, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp. That's why I'm kind of annoyed about the Deebo Samuel thing. Then adding a receiver to this group right now, the first round pick.
So I'm with you. And especially if you're talking about trading down, like certainly at 4, I'm not taking a receiver. If you're trading down from 4, I don't want them trading down further than 10. I've said before, if you're going to trade down to 10, I like Genty there. I like Tyler Warren there. That's a running back and a tight end. I'm not trading down to take a wide receiver there. Now, you want to take a wide receiver late in the first round, trade back in, fine.
See, I don't even want that.
You don't want that? You don't trust Elliot Wolf?
Right.
Fine. If you want to take a wide receiver on day 2 in round 2 or 3, fine. But I'm with you on this, Keith. There's enough receivers that we think are available. We've gone through the names a million times. Higgins, Godwin, Adams, Kupp. Samuel was on the list. He's now crossed off that list. You want to go further down it, you know, the Amari Coopers of the world and guys like that. There's enough names available. Never mind the guys via trade like DK Metcalf. I've mentioned George Pickens a lot. Guys who I think can be had via trade. There's so many available, I'd rather see them go that route. And unfortunately, they had an opportunity to get in on Deebo Samuel, and he is now a Washington Commander, which annoys me when you really look at what happened in that trade. The Commanders were in the same exact spot as you a year ago. In fact, worse. They were drafting 2, you were drafting 3. They needed a quarterback, so did you. They got their quarterback. We think the Patriots got theirs in Drake May. Washington spent a little in free agency and had more success in free agency than the Patriots did. They drafted better than the Patriots did. And now, after making the playoffs and winning double-digit games and going to the NFC Championship game, they add Deebo Samuel for their young quarterback. Yeah. And the Patriots won't, with the most cap space in the league, for only a 5th-round pick for Deebo Samuel. Look, I'm fearful that he's cooked, but that was a really low acquisition price.
Yeah.
They should have been in.
Well, and last year, too, you look at what the Commanders did that was different than you, is they brought in a lot of real pros, and I think it got overlooked at the time, myself included. I didn't think that Austin Eckler or Zach Ertz or Bobby Wagner were going to be great.
I bet
they all were.
I bet if you went back and found tapes at the time, I bet I mocked it. I was like, these are stupid signings.
And it worked, and they got a real head coach in there, too. And so now you could argue, all right, the Patriots were a year late on that part of it. All right, so now, like Mike Vrabel, Dan Quinn are a lot more similar than certainly Jerod Mayo and Dan Quinn are. So you upgraded that spot. But now you better add some veteran guys. And whether they have links to Vrabel with the Titans or not, you got to bring in some guys. That's why I'd be a little fearful of having that whole room just be young guys. It just seems a little high. He's certainly no guarantee. So we started down this path because the caller pointed out that, you know, most of his numbers came from 2 games. Like, okay, you know, that's fine. But how do you feel about the actual prospect himself or just Elliot Wolf and Mike Vrabel drafting a wide receiver that high? You know, Shine was in earlier. His opinion, he thinks there might be 3 guys that could start at left tackle right away. That would be way more intriguing to me at 7, 8, 9, 10, depending on how far you trade down. Grab one of those guys. Then you can use more of your resources, like money-wise, and other draft picks if you want to trade those and fill in some of those other needs that you have. And then maybe you get your starting left tackle in the draft. Like that, I wouldn't feel bad about that.
Is it fair to extrapolate their approach with Deebo Samuel, where it seems like they weren't in at all? The other team that was supposedly in, outside of Washington, who got him for a fifth-round pick, was Houston. I haven't really heard anything credible about the Patriots being linked to Deebo Samuel. It seems like a hands-off approach. Is it fair to extrapolate that to their approach this offseason, or is that more isolated in your mind?
So because I don't know what the main reason was. If they were out on him because of money, well, that's kind of concerning. If they're out on him because they really want their fifth-round pick, that doesn't make sense. If they're out on him because they've come to the conclusion that he's washed, okay, that's at least a football decision and not a money decision.
Well, we've seen that, and we both theorized that before, because he's going to age like a running back, not like a receiver. I think that's important to remember. Who had the report last week that he's not a fit for their offense? I'm trying to remember who that was.
That was in one of the stories. You're right. Which I kind of just, I was like, did they hear that from McDaniels, or are they just theorizing?
But my only point would be, we've had other explanations beyond just they're not thinking he's going to age well, or they think he's cooked. I mean, we've also heard and read that maybe he's a poor fit in the offense, which I would try to figure out a way to get him in your offense if that's your hurdle. But, I don't want to extrapolate it yet, but let's see if they keep missing out on a few more guys.
But that's it. So right now, like, if you want to lose your mind about Deebo, go ahead. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. I'm not going to lose my mind yet, but if all these other guys go off the board, like if Higgins and Godwin stay where they are, and if DK Metcalf stays where he is, and if Davante Adams just follows Aaron Rodgers to wherever he goes, and then they don't trade for Cooper Kupp, then you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
Like, you had to have something
you
in store.
You need to do something.
So Deebo might not have been your number one. Like, we both had our wide receiver wish list.
So I have it in front of me, and I was curious where they were. You did not have Deebo on your list, but you also had, you know, Higgins on there and Godwin on there. The reporting at the time, I was skeptical either of them would get to market.
But I'm saying, if like, all those guys are gone, make that list 10. Like, Deebo would have been on my list of 10.
Right.
But those eight other guys or whatever it is better go somewhere else.
So, for me, it's like, I'm not going to kick and scream about Deebo because I had Kupp and Adams and Metcalf all higher. You had Higgins and Godwin and Adams and Kupp. You had all those guys on your list as well. So,
but now we know what the price was to get him.
Well, yeah, and that was less than I thought.
Yeah.
And I think you can get out of that contract pretty easily after a year. You're going to have to guarantee the money this year. There is more money. But I think if you deem that Deebo is done, cooked, I think you can get out of it. I don't think you're hampered going forward. And even if you are, the Patriots have oodles of cap space.
Right.
So I'm surprised he went for so little. I'm curious what Kupp is going to go for. But I'll present that scenario to you. If Kupp gets released and they sign Kupp,
I feel a lot better.
I'd rather have Kupp than Samuel anyway.
So I'm not going to lose my mind then. But I'm just saying, like, all right, this is at least off to a bad trend. And I don't know if they were even in it. And maybe they weren't in it because they feel really good about one of these other guys. Then so be it. Like, great. But if somehow everybody else slips through the cracks and you're like, oh man, I wish we could have gone back and gotten that for a fifth round pick. It's like, well, that's not how it works.
No.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Let's go to Coach up in New Hampshire before we get into some specifics from the Herald. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes, when I think back on Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator, a guy like T. Higgins or DK Metcalf doesn't jump out at me as a guy that Josh McDaniels knows how to feature or could lure to New England and say, you know, you're going to get 12 targets a game. Now, I would be sold on a guy like Cooper Kupp, again, because of McDaniels' system and history of developing the Welkers and the Edelmans and such. Just wanted your comment on that because I really think he hurts us going after that big, long, game-breaking wideout.
Yeah, so I don't know if
I disagree.
I don't know if he hurts for that specific player, but I think there's a chance McDaniels hurts in general with free agents. Like, I think there's a chance that he does.
See, I think he's not the head coach.
Right, but he wasn't popular with players.
Yeah, but if he wants to go and talk
about... In Denver or Vegas.
If you want to talk about scoreboards as far as like receivers are concerned, Devontae Adams, the full season that McDaniels was the head coach, had a monster season.
He did.
Their offense wasn't even that bad.
No.
The defense was terrible. And he's a bad overall head coach.
They were literally dancing in the locker room and lighting up victory cigars the second he left.
But his that he's preventing guys, like Randy Moss had one of the best wide receiver years in the history of the NFL.
So I'm with you on that.
McDaniels.
But I do agree with Coach that I think Kupp, Godwin, slot receivers like that are better fits in the McDaniels offense than some of the outside guys. But say he's never gotten it out of the outside guys is unfair. But Kupp, Godwin, guys like that are good fits in this offense.
But he also, as much crap as he... And listen, I'm not really super pro Josh McDaniels, just offering the other side of it. If everybody points to Tim Tebow, that he drafted Tim Tebow and what a disaster that was, he also drafted Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker in that year. And, like, those guys got better after he left, but they also, like, developed. But those were big-time receivers. They weren't the prototypical slot receiver like Wes Welker and Julian Edelman. So he's had very productive receivers in his time in the NFL. So I don't know if he's one way or the other. I don't think he's a deterrent. I also don't think he's a real positive either. Like,
guys are lining up to play for him.
So I think they see Drake May. They see Mike Vrabel. I don't think Josh McDaniels is like, oh, he's also one of the three guys recruiting. But I also don't think guys are like, no way in hell am I going there.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the power that he did in Oakland or in Denver.
I think that's fair. To worry about Josh McDaniels as an impediment, like the biggest impediment is craft. Is he going to spend or is he not? Like that's the single biggest thing.
True.
As was hammered home by the NFLPA survey, if he's not going to spend and he's going to cut corners like he does on his plane and his workout facility and everything else, then you're never going to get these players. And then it's up to Vrabel and May. Do people want to play with Drake May? Do people want to play for Mike Vrabel? You know, McDaniel's probably fair to put him somewhere on the list. And I would think he's more of a negative than a positive, but he is way down the list. That's fair.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the Herald this weekend, good stuff from Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide. They have a list of top free agent targets for the Patriots. You ready, Keith?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley.
Hell yeah.
Eagles defensive tackle Milton Williams.
It's fine. I mean, it's not going to go crazy. I'm not going to sit here and lie.
Already that's a drop.
Fired up about, although it's a bad free agent class, so he's probably a top five free agent.
49ers quarterback Javarius Ward.
That's a little surprising.
Okay. And Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin.
Yes.
Are among the Patriots' top targets, according to sources. Though, members of the organization are doubtful Godwin will leave Tampa Bay. I would add, I'm a little skeptical Ronnie Stanley leaves Baltimore, but it is interesting they draw a line there. They say within the Patriots building, they're skeptical Godwin will get there, but he would be a target if he does. They, inside the building, don't seem to be worried about Ronnie Stanley getting to free agency. And I'll tell you, Mike Reese amplified this as well over the weekend, that the buzz at the Combine in Indianapolis is the Patriots are linked to Ronnie Stanley.
So can they? Will they make Ronnie Stanley the highest paid offensive lineman in the league? Because that's what it would take.
Right. Will they? Good question. Should they? Yes.
Yeah, they should. It's such a desperate need. We brought up the Mike Vrabel car analogy where there's like, hey, there's a bunch. You don't have to necessarily go to the highest, but there's only one that's worth a damn, then you better be really aggressive in getting him. That also goes back to Vrabel's point about really having the team pretty much set by the draft. And then from there, just taking like best players and seeing where they kind of slot in. If you said you had Ronnie Stanley right now, that solves so many things.
It changes how you approach the draft 100%. At the top quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, of course it does. So I don't know. I feel like out of Stanley, Higgins, and I know he's not on the list. He's actually on a different list, but Stanley, Higgins, and Godwin, three maybe the best free agents and or three guys that are all just going right back with their team. I feel like Higgins is actually the one that's most likely to go somewhere else. I think Stanley's staying, and I think Godwin's staying.
A couple more names in case you miss out on Ronnie Stanley. It says the Patriots would be comfortable signing any of, I don't love this.
This is where it turns into the quantity over quality, which is what they did last year.
Ronnie Stanley, good. Cam Robinson in Minnesota.
You hear mixed things on him.
I mean, I think he had a bounce back year last year in Minnesota, but he's a guy who was considered a bust in Jacksonville. Doug Marrone, Patriots O-line coach, was the head coach when they drafted him in Jacksonville. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. And then in the middle, they have the name Dan Moore out of Pittsburgh, who I am not familiar with
at all. He's made up a guy for this list.
But he's been the left tackle in Pittsburgh the last few years.
Although, if you're unfamiliar, that's not the worst thing with a tackle.
No, it's true. It's not like you know that the guy's just a turnstile. That's fair.
That's
good point.
That's true. And it looks like he's missed like one game in the last 3 years.
I just don't like the way that's written. They're comfortable with any of the three. Stanley, Moore, Robinson.
Right, like you're not prioritizing.
Well, you should prioritize. You should be wanting to sign one guy, and then these other guys are the fallback. Maybe that's what they mean.
But the other thing, though,
but it kind of has them all on the same plane the way it's written.
But they're all better than what you have.
Well, yeah, of course.
But, okay,
yeah.
So I mean, I guess I'll take it at that. Like those guys, you probably should have like a clear rankings just like for your draft. But if you're like, we almost have to get one of these guys, rather than like, hey, we'd feel comfortable with any of these guys. Maybe it just means if we miss out on Ronnie Stanley, we're pivoting to one of these three guys who, at least depending on how the draft shakes out, we're going to pencil that guy in as a starter.
So the other side of the football, I was encouraged by this. Jamian Sherwood is a player they covet on defense. You may recognize him. He played for the Jets the last few years. Okay. So you may recognize him from Pat's games against the Jets. 6'2", 216. Kide and Callahan righty hits harder than his listed frame would suggest.
216?
Yep. That's too light for you?
It's like me after breakfast. That's not great. He's a linebacker.
The exact type of physical, violent player Vrabel wants. I like the word violent.
Violence.
The Patriots are working to infuse more speed in their defensive front, which would feature smaller, faster players under Vrabel and new D coordinator Terrell Williams compared to most of the defenses of the past two decades. That does feel like a real change. Like Bill liked the big two-gapping, big, heavy, second-level players. Like think of like Bentley and guys like that.
Yeah.
This would be a shift in that way. And I think the Patriots need a shift on defense to more speed. Now, maybe 216 is too small.
Yeah.
But the Jets have had a good physical, violent defense the last few years. Not a good team, but a good physical, violent defense.
I feel like Marte Mapu would just be a linebacker on this team.
Yeah, then. Maybe. Yeah. I don't pretend to be an expert on him, even though the Patriots play against him twice a year the last few years. But if they're going to covet someone like that in the middle of their defense to get faster and more athletic, I can get on board with that.
Yeah, no, I just want Vrabel and Williams to come in and put their imprint on the defense. You know, the defense needs to turn around. We focus so much on receivers and O linemen because when you watch that, like how bad the offense was, and you're trying to support Drake May. But the truth is, the defense took a huge step backwards last year. You know, Belichick leaves, but you're like, oh, well, Mayo's still here, so they'll run some of that. No, it was a mess. And yeah, there were some guys who were hurt, but then you also had a full season out of Gonzalez. So like the defense should have been at least the same, but it was worse. So whatever Vrabel and Williams want to do to it, like I'll trust those guys.
You have to imagine they're going to get more out of the defense than Mayo did a year ago, for sure. By the way, the Herald also notes they're out on Josh Sweat, which is annoying.
That's odd.
He's not expected to receive interest from the Patriots. Neither are Amari Cooper, Steph Diggs, Khalil Mack.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, the next three don't bother me so much. I wonder why they're not in on Sweat. Do they feel he's not?
Unless they're cooking something else up.
But
I don't know.
But this, I would have an issue with this. If he's not a scheme fit, okay, fine. He's not a scheme fit. If it's because he's the top edge rusher on the market and they don't want to pay for it, similar to T. Higgins, yeah, but then saying, I would have a problem with that.
But right now they haven't done anything. Nope. So right now they're just saying they're interested. The Red Sox were interested in Juan Soto.
Yep.
Or at least that's what
allegedly
we were told.
Yes.
So, like, I feel like you would say, which makes me feel like maybe this list is legitimate, because wouldn't you just say all the top guys?
If they're just going to be interest kings,
because, yeah, like, Ronnie Stanley is going to make a ton of money.
I get what you're saying.
So they clearly have some line in the sand on why he is in and why Josh Sweat isn't.
I do like this. Guys, you say you want them to spend in free agency, and then you hate all the players. That's not wrong.
I hate a lot of the players, but if they sign Ronnie Stanley to the highest paid O-lineman contract, neither one of us will bitch about the money.
Nope.
If they trade for, like, DK Metcalf and then give him a huge contract, we're not going to bitch about that. Nope. Or even T. Higgins. Or like what. So I understand what the texts are saying, because the free agent list is not great. If you show me the list of the top 10 free agents, five of those, first of all, they're all going to be overpaid, and I'll complain about maybe half of them.
Yeah.
The other half, though, like, I'll take, and they need.
But it underscores that it's not a great year to be at the top of the draft and to have the most cap space in the NFL. Like, last year was the year to do a lot of this stuff. And outside of Drake May, and I guess Milton, they whiffed on the draft. They completely whiffed on free agency. Like, last year was the year to get in there and do some of this. And they did not. So they're a year behind because of it. 617-779-7937. Coming up at the end of the hour, Keith will recap a busy, busy weekend. Oscars, Elimination Chamber.
I can't wait. It was a hell of a weekend.
Heel turns. Oh. Shocking Oscar winners. So we'll get to all of it coming up. Plus, we'll get into the Patriots and their plan at wide receiver right after trending from the birthday boy, Billy Lanny and Jason Tatum.
Woo!
They have so much in common, Keith. So much in common.
How about that?
But specifically a birthday, Jason Tatum, 27 today, as we've been informed.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Lanny turns 44. It's his Jason Bay B-Day.
Right.
Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending, and we're right back on the Pats and their wide receiver plan.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.